Morning.
Morning.
All right, brethren, we're gonna be in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And verses 1 through 6. Mark 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, our Lord had just declared himself to be... I don't think I'm on, am I? Okay, yeah, there I am. Okay. So Mark 3, verses 1 through 6. Our Lord had declared himself to be, that's really loud, Lord of the Sabbath, and he was entering into the synagogue, and he provided himself, or rather he, well, oh, I'm really distracted, let's just, there we go. All right, thank you, brother, that's good. All right. So, he comes into the synagogue, and he had, it's still really like echoing back for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And he, yeah? All right, yeah, I think that's pretty good. There you go. So he has one there, which we know the Lord does everything according to purpose. So he had one there that needed his mercy. And this man had a withered hand. And the Lord demonstrates with this miracle for that man, he demonstrates that he indeed is Lord of the Sabbath, right? And the healing of this man. Is it still going pretty bad? Yeah, I don't know why it's... We'll have to test that earlier next time. So he showed that he's Lord of the Sabbath and the healing of this man. And we read in another place, like we know that he is the Christ because of this miracle. Because we read in another place when Nicodemus came to him, and Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He came to him by night and he said this. He said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Our title now is Stand Forth. Stand Forth. And we'll have three divisions. Withered hands, then we'll see they watched him, speaking of the Pharisees, and then bidding with power, or given a command with power. So first, let's notice the condition of this man. It says there in Mark 3, verse 1, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand." And the scriptures don't tell us why this man with the withered hand, why he was even there. We don't know if he was there every Sabbath day, that he came very regularly and consistently, and so that he was already there when Christ came in. We don't know if it was just some fluke visit where he stopped in. He didn't know why. He just had this leading to go there that day, and then Christ came in. Or it seems like this was in Capernaum. So Christ was there, and so he may indeed have known that Christ is in the area, and therefore it would be the Sabbath day, and so he would go there hoping that Christ would see him and have mercy on him, because it's the Sabbath day, and so Christ would be there at the place of public worship where the Lord is going to attend and be there himself. So we're not told exactly why this man was there, but we know that our Lord was there on purpose. He was there according to purpose. For Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to purpose." So this is our Lord, of whom it said, you know, that he must needs go through Samaria. Right? And so he said, in another place he said, "Other sheep I have." So he's out seeking and finding those that are lost. He's out looking for his sheep. And just think about that, brethren. This is the place where the Lord meets. And so we'll meet his people. And when we come here, when you come here, when I come here, we're looking for and hoping that the Lord will attend his service, that he's gathered us to here together to hear the word that he's provided for his people that day. Because we don't know the day or the hour when the Lord's going to attend and meet with us in that day. So, you know, some come because they're invited and encouraged to come. Others come, they don't necessarily know why, and others come very regularly. And so, but always we're hoping that the Lord will attend the meeting and attend the preaching of the word and feed his sheep. So, you know, because this is where the Lord's going to meet his people, and he calls his people according to purpose. And as I mentioned, this is where the Lord meets his people, as he said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So this is where he provides his word. It's the word that declares what Christ has done for his people, how that he reveals to us what we are in our hearts, that we're sinners, and he reveals to us our need of Christ. He shows us, he reminds us of that which is most important and most needful for us to hear. I know when we're out there in the world, this flesh is very crafty and very good at convincing us of that which is just as important or just as good for us, or it's not going to be so bad, but it's here under the word where he reminds us and shows us this is the best place for us to be, because this is where the Lord is going to attend and feed his people. The Lord, in the preaching of the gospel, he answers the thoughts that are in our hearts. Those things that we're thinking about that have been brewing around there for maybe a couple of weeks and we're wondering and thinking about them when we're laying on our bed or just wondering what we should do, the Lord is kind and he reveals his will to us through the preaching of the word. So this is where we're going to be. We don't always come here expecting that he's going to answer it, but how often he does answer that thought that's in our heart and that thing that we desire to know. And he destroys and knocks down all the works of darkness that we build up in sin and in iniquity. He knocks those things down and destroys those idols and those other things that are taking us away from the Lord. And I get it. You know, we're all very, very busy people. We all have desires and cares and things that we want to get done. But, you know, even though they seem like good and valid excuses of why it's not important for us to hear the word or why it won't be that big of a deal, just think about how rare it is to have the gospel. Now that you've heard the gospel, think of how rare it is to have the gospel and to hear it preached and to be fed, because so few have it. There's still many people meeting in homes and listening in over the internet just to hear a word, just to hear a crumb. And you know how the Lord blesses it even more so in particular when you're here in person and you hear that word. It's just such an encouragement for us. And so consider this man who came to the synagogue that day rather than going and doing something else. Because he maybe could have done other things, but he was there where the Lord was meeting with his people, where the Lord would be. That's where that man was on that day, on the day when the Lord would come in. So in Matthew 6:31, Christ said, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat?" Because, you know, there's lots of things. There's lots of excuses that we find not to come here and hear the word. But he says, "Don't take thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Right? Those are very needful things. We're trying to live another day. And these are important things that he's saying. "For after all these things," he said, "do the Gentiles seek?" Do those nations that know not God, that's what the people in the world are seeking after. That's what they're looking for and pursuing. And he says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He promises that he's going to provide. He's going to take care of his own. He says, you just seek the kingdom of God. You seek the righteousness that God has provided in his Son Jesus Christ, and all these other things he'll provide for you. He'll take care of you. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you drown. Yeah, you might not have all the things that the flesh desires, but he's going to ensure that you have everything needful and necessary to be fed and to receive those greater riches in the life to come. Remember the word of our Lord. He said in Luke 12, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So make sure that your heart, the treasure that you desire most, is Christ, because that's what we need. The flesh tells you it's lots of other things. I get it. I know exactly, you know, what you think and the temptations that we have, but the true treasure is Christ, and that's what we want to pursue. Turn over there to Luke 12. Turn to Luke 12. We don't know when our Lord is going to attend his word with power, right? We don't know when he's going to visit and have mercy on some dead sinner and cause them to hear that word and cause them to be awakened out of their death by nature. We just don't know. But he says in Luke 12:35, to us, he says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Right? He's saying, be diligent. Be diligent to hear the word. Be diligent to encourage those who you have influence over, like your family members. Encourage them. You can't, make, especially, your adult children, things, you can't make them do it. And people are going to be people, but you have friends, you have families, you have neighbors, you have ones that you love. Encourage them. Encourage them to be here and to hear that word, because that he ministers to you, and when it's needful to you, it'll be needful to them. They'll see it. You just keep being faithful, doing what you're doing, and remind them and encourage them in these things, and the Lord will, one of these days, we pray, we hope, right, that he will bring them here and give them a heart and a hunger and a thirst for his word. And it says there in verse 36, Luke 12:36, and ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. All right, now listen to verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he, this is the Lord, shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Isn't that a sweet thought? First, that word comes to your pastor, right, who's to be faithful and diligent to be seeking the Lord for a word for his people in the season that he lives in, and for what the people are going through, to seek a word from the Lord for his people, and to be ready and waiting when the Lord comes with that meal and gives it to me, right? If I just, because I don't feel like being somewhere, or think, hey, I'd like to do this instead or do that instead, then I'm not going to be there when the Lord comes to provide that meal, right? I may miss that meal, and then you're going to get, who knows what you're going to get or what you're going to hear. But I'm trying to, so first that word comes to me, to be diligent, to be seeking the Lord and studying his word, waiting for the Lord to show me. Because when I sit down, I don't know what I'm going to say. I really don't. I get nervous. I look at it, and a lot of times it's hard and just like solid, and I can't see the gospel. So I keep praying, and I keep reading, and I keep asking the Lord, please open it up to me that I have something to give the brethren. And then he comes and he gives me a word, and then I have something to give to you. But so it's to your pastor first, but it's also to you, brethren, right? That you would be encouraged to show up and to hear. Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, I'm coming because I got to hear what you have for me, right? I need to be fed and hear this word. So, he'll bless it to your hearts. And we just want to be faithful to be where the Lord says, where he promises that he's going to meet his people and feed them. And he says, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So, if we were all fit men and women, if we could produce a righteousness for ourselves and we could work this, work the ground of this flesh and the dust of the earth here, and bring forth crops and fruit that are pleasing to God, it might be another story, but we know we can't. We're sinners. We're dead sinners. We're corrupt. We're vile. And we're in need of his mercy and grace. So we want to be where the Lord is going to feed his people. So this is why we're encouraged. Now, we're all like that man in the text there in Mark 3:1. It says, there was a man there which had a withered hand. Withered hand. And that's us. We're withered when it comes to producing something profitable to the Lord, for producing something from this flesh. It's not going to happen. We've got withered hands, and we only bring forth that which is corrupt and unproductive, and that which the Lord won't receive of this flesh, because it's of the flesh, and the flesh doesn't please the Lord. Only that which he creates is pleasing to him. So our Lord came that day to heal that man by his omnipotent grace, and we're here, and you're here, and I'm encouraged that you're here, because we're here to hear that word of the Lord for his people in this day. All right, now the next one says that they watched him. They watched him. So In addition to our Lord being there, and in addition to that man with the withered hand being there, there were some really mighty fine fellows there that day as well, right? Some really super wonderful people that were just so righteous in themselves. They were there that day as well, and they thought that they were the protectors, right? The protectors of the truth, but they weren't protecting the people. They weren't looking out for the people. They were only interested in their status and what they had gained, and they didn't want that to be taken away from them. So they were there, but not to hear truth and not to be fed. They were there that they might watch him and see what Christ did, that they might accuse him. It says in verse 2, Mark 3:2, and they watched him. They watched our Lord, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Right? How dare the Lord have mercy and heal a man on the Sabbath day and show him mercy and kindness? It says in Matthew 12:10, they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? As if they were setting him up, setting the whole thing up. You know, maybe it wasn't happening fast enough for them. So they kind of made sure that these two ran into each other and asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? So the intent of their heart was made known. It was revealed what their real interest was, and they wanted, it wasn't that they would know whether he was the Christ or not. They just wanted to find some reason to accuse him. And I don't think there's any of you brethren that are here like that, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, there are people that all they want to do is just find something and accuse them. And, you know, even so, though, our Lord still stood for his sheep. He wasn't worried about them. He didn't withdraw himself and say, you know, I really wish that these people would hear me. Let me pull back and make them happy, and then I'll come back at it another time and heal this guy on the day that's more convenient and lines up with their thoughts. He didn't do that. He stood for that man that very day and healed him in spite of what the wicked were thinking. He didn't worry. He didn't let that move him or change him or alter what he was there to do. And it teaches us a lot, because we see how nothing he did changed their opinion of him. Nothing he did moved them or convinced them of something to think differently. They were so hard in their hearts, and that's what we see. There's nothing you can do that's going to please those who are enemies of the truth. So don't, we're not looking to do that which is sinful just because we want to do that which is sinful, but rather, just know, though, that you're never going to be able to please anybody. Like, you're not going to be able to change your appearance or change your, you know, your pattern of things and do things to make them happy, because they're still not going to be happy with you. The seed of woman and the children of the wicked one never agree. They never agree. They're never going to see eye to eye. There's never going to be any fellowship or agreement between the two. They're just always going to persecute the Lord's people, and they're always going to find fault with the Lord's people. So, you know, we want to do what the Lord reveals in his word, right? We want to be faithful to our Lord, though. Be faithful to him, not faithful to those who think that we should be doing it this way or we should be doing it that way or whatever. Just seek what the Lord has for you to hear. And seek what the Lord is revealing to you in his gospel, and content yourself with that, because haters are going to hate. Like, they're just never going to be satisfied with what we do. And in Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12, Matthew 12 is the parallel to Mark 3. But our Lord shows how they themselves were guilty of the very trespass that they were accusing him of, or about to accuse him of. They were guilty of that same thing. It's in Matthew 12 if you want to read it, but make sure you hold your place in Mark 3. But in Matthew 12, 11, it says, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. So he's there in the midst of ravenous wolves that would have been that wanted him to leave that poor sheep there, maimed and helpless, that they may continue to just tear him to shreds and treat him like dirt in their eyes and just be awful to that guy. But there's Christ standing in the midst as a faithful shepherd to that sheep, to protect them and to care, or to protect him and to care for him and to heal him and to provide for him that very day. He said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But these men that were there, they couldn't, and they would not, they could not, and they would not hear what Christ was saying. And he said in John 8:43-47, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." All right, and then Mark gives a summary in Mark 3:3-4. He says, "He said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And then he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace." And he gave them a relevant example that they all knew was true. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some there that did that very thing that day. That you know, providentially, the Lord worked it so that they knew exactly what he was saying. And they knew that they would do the same thing and did do the same thing for an animal, for a sheep. And he's there to heal and lift up one of his people, a man. Like a man, not an animal, but a human, a man. And it's so, you know, sweet what you see the Lord's mercy. "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts," so that our Lord was angry and grieved by the deadness of their hearts, because there's such a thick veil over it. It's so thick, that veil, that they won't even hear that perfect example. It's so true and so relevant to them, and they wouldn't even hear it. They refused to hear what he was saying. But there's, you know, so there's always going to be that enmity between the two. There's no interest. The darkness has no interest in what the Lord reveals to the children of light. There's just no fellowship there between the two. And then it says that right after that, they went out, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. All right. But before he healed that man, he commanded that man with power, and he gave that man power. Basically, he worked that in him. He worked that obedience in that man. So it says, this is our third point, bidding with power. Christ was rightfully angry with them, for, you know, with these wicked men. He was rightfully angry with them. It wasn't like a revengeful kind of anger. Like, he knew what they were going to do to him. He knew what was coming, but it wasn't that type of anger. But they're just so dead and hard in their hearts. But it says in verse 5, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." And one of the comforts to us, brethren, is that we see that power that the Lord attended that word that he spoke to that man when he commanded him, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. All right, so let's look just very quickly. I just got 3 points to say to you in regards to this, because it shows the mercy that our Lord had for this man, and it shows that faithful work of salvation that he performs in each one of us as well. In 1 Peter 1:23, it tells us, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And that's the truth, brethren, that we have, is that Christ has given us life from the dead. And he goes on to say, "For all flesh is grass." So it's not our flesh that's doing this. It's not our wisdom. It's not our intelligence. It's not our strength and the might of our flesh that has brought us to this place. All flesh is grass. It's all enmity against God. But when Christ by the Spirit comes in and gives us life, where there was death, then we have the power, because he attends that word with power. He doesn't just say, "Hey, follow me," and then now it's up to our flesh to do it. That's what the world teaches, that it's man's decision, and now he has to make a good decision and choose whether or not God's going to save him or not. But it doesn't work that way. But when he commands that word for his people, he attends that word with power and glory and grace by his authority that he has from the Father to give his people life. It says, "So all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord, that commanding word of the Lord, endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So powerful was our Lord's word to this man that he gave him life and brought him to obedience in Christ. As Mark 3:3 says, and he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. So whatever it was that brought that man there that day, he now knows that Christ is in the house there, and he hears his word, and he's given that obedience worked in his heart to stand forth and obey his word. So that, brethren, we're to just stand in awe of what the Lord did for this man and what he does for his people, that he's got him standing there in the midst of all his enemies. And by standing there, he knows that these people hate Christ. And I don't know what brought that man there, but here he is there. And the Lord says, stand forth. And that man comes before in the midst of all those people who are silent, who have shown in the past their hatred of Christ. And you can just imagine that the hope that is rising this man, that indeed the Lord is going to show me mercy today. He's going to have mercy on my soul. He's going to show himself kind to me. I heard about all the healing that he did for other people, and now he calls me to stand forth. And you can just, the hope that had to be in that man, knowing that the Lord was going to heal that crippled hand of his and restore it whole like the other. So second, though, we see, it says in verse 5, when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. And I have to wonder if, to some degree, the grieving that he felt, he knew what they were going to do to him. He knew exactly what they were going to do to him, that they were going to, the Jews were going to reject their Christ, that they were going to turn him over to the Gentiles to do to him whatever pleased them. Whatever pleased them, that he might be crucified before them. And you have to, so he knows the hatred that's against him, but he also knows that that same hatred is going to be turned against you, his people. He knows what the world thinks of us. He knows what they think of him, and so he knows what hatred they have for us, because we're not above our master. We're not above our Lord. If they persecuted him, they'll persecute us. If they treated him shamefully, they'll treat us shamefully. And the Lord told us. He said in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Right, he could see Stephen. I'm sure he could see Stephen standing there before Pharisees just like these guys in that council, where all Stephen's doing is preaching the truth. He's just telling them the truth, and the truth that they needed to hear in the hope of their salvation. They needed to hear what Stephen says, and they hated him for it. He was just a dove or a sheep standing in the midst of wolves. And because of that, the Lord had given him that faith to stand there and declare that word. And it says when there at the end, he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the throne of God. So he calls us to stand, but what a grace and mercy that Christ stands with us. And he'll stand with his people in that day when we stand before the throne of God. You'll have your advocate right there standing with you, and he'll have you clothed in his righteousness, covered in his blood, so God won't be angry with us like he is with the wicked, but rather he's merciful and kind and rejoices over us and brings us into the glory that he has prepared for his son. He brings us into that inheritance and that glory. So stand for Christ. Don't be afraid. He gives you the power, he gives you the grace for it, and he stands with you, brethren. So you can be sure of that. And then third, Mark 3:5, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So that whenever Christ gives the command, he gives that power, that obedience, so that we can do what he says. He gives us that power because it's his irresistible grace. And this man had no ability, right? He had no ability to stretch forth his hand. I'm sure he tried it in the past, and he couldn't do it until the Lord said, "Stretch forth thine hand," and he was given that power to stretch his hand forth, right? Lazarus had no power to come out of the grave, right? He had no power to do that. But when he heard the voice of Christ say, "Lazarus, come forth," we read in John 11:44, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin." And Jesus gives another command. He said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." So that last command is to his pastors and his preachers to stand and declare the truth of God, what Christ has done for sinners, how that Christ is the salvation of sinners, that Christ himself, it's his blood that cleanses us and redeemed us to God, and it's his death that justifies us and reconciles us to holy God. So we declare what he's done, not turning to you and tell you what you need to be doing, but we stand and declare what Christ has done for you and how that he gives you the power to hear his word and to stand with him and to rejoice in our Lord and our Savior. All right, so Christ gives life and works all these things in us, the powers of him, as it says in 2 Peter 1:3, that it's according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So that's his, you know, that's his calling to us. And if he does it, if he does the calling, then you can be sure he's going to attend it with power to his praise and his glory in us so that we stand in him in that day. I pray the Lord will bless us, bless that word to our hearts. And I apologize for being distracted initially, but I pray the Lord will bless that word to the hearts of his people. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your power, for your word, Lord, that when you speak to us, you don't leave it to our flesh to figure these things out and to whip up a power and work in ourselves, but Lord, that you provide the power, that you've stated the command and you provide the ability by your Spirit in us. We thank you, Lord, for those of us that are here this morning. Father, we ask that you would be merciful upon our family and our friends. Lord, stir up our hearts. Help us to be faithful and to speak this word faithfully and to encourage those that we love and care for to be here. And Lord, that you would stir up the hearts of your people and bring them out, that they would come and be in the place where the Lord, where you've promised to meet with your people. And Lord, that you would cause some sinner to hear that word and to have life and to hear the command and obey it. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.